All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 for the message this morning. I want to read a familiar passage of Scripture. I think it should be familiar to about everybody here. I think I have... preached on several things related to this chapter through the years on a number of occasions, and I think we spent some time talking about the fact that Moses was called of God out of this chapter to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Should be a familiar passage of Scripture. Let's begin reading in verse 1, and you follow along as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack there in front of you. You may feel free to use that. And the book of Exodus, chapter 3. All right, let's begin in verse 1. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." All right, so Moses he has fled Egypt. You remember in the previous chapter, he saw an Egyptian man abusing a Hebrew man, and he stepped in. They got into a fight, and Moses ended up killing the man. So somebody saw him do it, and so Moses fled so as not to suffer at the hands of Pharaoh, and he was gone for 40 years. You remember that? All right, so get the story. He was gone for 40 years, and so we're now at the end of that 40-year period, he's at Mount Horeb, where he would eventually get the law from God. But in verse 2, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." That's amazing. The bush burned, but it did not burn up. It burned, but it did not burn up. All right, verse 3. "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." Well, I believe I'd have stepped aside to see it too, don't you? It says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush." So God spoke to Moses out of the bush. God was that fire. You remember on a couple of occasions in the Bible, Old and New Testament, the Bible tells us that our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Well, here is the fire that was burning in the bush, and it spoke to Moses. In verse 5, he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Now, would you take note of that little statement? God said to Moses, I know their sorrows. Now, folks, let me stop right here and say to you, God knows your sorrows as well. God knows what you are facing. Verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression therewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. That's a great promise right there. Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. Well, what's that token, right? Listen carefully. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. The very mountain where they were when God spoke to Moses, God said, when you get them out of Egypt, you're going to worship me on this mountain, on this very mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You say, well, what kind of name is that? Well, I'm going to show you in just a minute. I am that I am. When they say, well, who is your God? You tell them, I am hath sent you. And God, verse 15, said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. You see, folks, this I am, that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's their forefathers' God. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, let's pray together, and then I want to speak to you this morning a message I'm going to entitle, I Am All You Need. I am all you need. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together, and I pray you'll bless what I'm about to say. We realize that we have before us an open Bible, and this Bible is the Word of God. So, Father, help us this morning to see the Word of God and to claim its promise that we have a God who is the eternal I am. He is not the I used to be. He's not saying one of these days I will be, but Lord, he is the eternal, everlasting, present I am. Help us to see that this is the God we serve today. Bless your word to our hearts and meet the needs of our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want you to think about this amazing chapter. God revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush. And God told him that he had been chosen to be the man to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he was chosen to bring them to the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey. You'll remember that many generations before, God had spoken to Moses' descendants, Abraham, and God said to Abraham, go down into this land, and when you get there, I will tell you you're there. I will show you this land. And all of this land I'm going to give to you and to your descendants. And so Abraham went down into the land. And then Isaac was born, and that promise was given to Isaac. And then Jacob was born, and that promise was given to Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And you remember that one of them, the baby, Joseph was taken and sold to the Midianites and ended up down in Egypt. And so years after this promise, 400 and some years after this promise was made to Abraham, the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, are all down in Egypt. They're all there, divinely led by God into the land of Egypt. And God said to the one man that was not in Egypt, that had come out, and it was on the backside of the desert, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, God spoke to that man, Moses, and said, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I'm going to use you to bring the children of Israel out. Now, Moses stood there and thought to himself, seriously, how am I going to do this? I mean, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. He's been gone for 40 years. And the language, after 40 years of not speaking the language, how could you go back and just pick it up? And so he started arguing with God. I can't do this, Lord. I can't do this. I'm slow of tongue. I can't speak for you. God said to him, well, listen, your brother Aaron is there, and I'll use him as a spokesman. So whatever argument Moses had, God said, no, this is what I want, and I want you to do this thing. And it's interesting that when you read the story, after Moses obeyed and he went down and started the job of bringing the people out and then brought the people out, not one time did Aaron ever do the speaking. Moses always did it. It's amazing. God provides us with what we need when we do what he wants us to do. Nod your heads. Amen. So Moses said, well now, Lord, in our text, Moses said, Lord, when I come to the people, who do I say, who do I tell them has sent me? What is the name of the God who called me and sent me to bring them out? Now, verse 14 tells us that the name, and in verse 15, tells us that the name is the name whereby God will forever be called. And that name is, I am. I am that I am. And that name, God said to Moses, would stand as a memorial to all generations as long as eternity rolls, that God is the I Am. Now that means something for you and for me. If when God called Moses and God told Moses that his name was I Am and that his name would forever be I Am, that means that God is still today the I Am. Now, folks, think about that. God is not the I used to be, but God is the I Am, present. He's not past tense. He's present tense. Isn't it ironic that when you get over into the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter says that the scoffer in the last day is going to say, where is your God? What's happened to your God? As if God's best days were in the past. Oh no, my friend, God is the ever-present, eternal God. When I was a kid, I loved baseball, just like I still love baseball. I think I loved it more when I was a kid, though, because I played it. I'm too old to do that now. But when I was young, I loved baseball. And we had one of my cousins, much older than we were, but one of my cousins lived in Cincinnati, just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. And we would go out to stay with them and go to Cincinnati Reds baseball games. Now, this was during the time when they were the big red machine. All right? I mean, world champions, just consecutive years, just powerhouse. That was when they had Pete Rose. And that was when they had Tony Perez and all the, Joe Morgan, all those great players. And they had this guy who was their catcher, whose name was Johnny Bench. And you've seen Johnny Bench on TV, haven't you? That's what made me think of this. I was this little kid, and we were sitting up behind the home team dugout. And as we were sitting there waiting on the game to begin, all of a sudden, here comes the players up out of the dugout. And my brother and I had caught a foul ball. We went early for batting practice, and I had a foul ball. And when the players all came out, I ran down. We were only four or five rows up, and I ran down to the edge where the field was. And when Johnny Bench came out of the dugout and turned right, I hollered his name, and he turned and looked at me, and I held up a ball and a pen. And Johnny Bench came over and took that baseball from me, asked me my name, shook my hand, and signed that baseball and handed it back to me. Now, the other day I'm sitting on the couch and I'm watching West Virginia try to play basketball. And that's what they were doing that night, was trying to play basketball. They didn't play very well. And a Blue Emu commercial came on. Blue Emu is this cream you put on your arthritis, on your joints. And Johnny Bench was the spokesman. And my mind went back to when Johnny Bench was in his 20s. And when he signed that baseball for me. And I'm telling you, folks, he's gotten old. You can look at those old crippled up arthritic hands and know why he's doing a Blue Emu commercial. Bless his heart. And so that's not our God. Our God is not I used to be. Our God is I Am. He is the eternal present God. And he said, Moses, you tell the children of Israel, the I Am has sent you. And folks, if you know the English language, you know that I Am is not really a complete statement. All right, if I said to you, I Am, and then I stopped, you would look at me and say, you are what? And if I said to you, well, I am hungry, which come to think of it, if I said I am hungry, that's a complete statement, is it not? But if I just stood up here and said to you, I am, you're going to be sitting there wondering, you are what? Okay? Now, when I read that and I thought about that and I looked at this verse, it occurred to me that I think what God is saying to Moses is this. Moses, you go and you tell my people that I am going to be whatever they need me to be. I am whatever they need me to be. When they ask, what is the name of your God? You go tell them that my first name is I am, and my last name is going to be whatever they add to I am that they need me to be. For example, I am whatever. Let's say you're hungry. Well, I am the bread of life. Isn't it amazing? As you keep reading through this Bible, you come across all the different instances where the Lord Jesus said, I am, and then he told us what he is. For instance, John 6:48, I am bread. Are you hungry? No problem. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Are you thirsty? That's not a problem. You just write thirsty in there because the Lord is the living water, according to John 7:38. Do you need light? That's no problem. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Do you need direction? Well, John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way. Do you need victory? Well, in John 14:6, the Lord said, I am life. Do you need life after death? Not a problem. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In other words, folks, whatever you need, God said, you just fill in the blank. That's what I'll be for you. Man, I'm glad we have a God that meets our needs, aren't you? Now, hold your place here and go over to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation 1. And let me show you something. Revelation 1. Now, you remember that in this chapter, John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was on the Isle of Patmos. Now, watch this. In verse 7, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now watch, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. All right, now watch this, folks. Do you know what an alpha is? The alpha is the letter A in the Greek alphabet. It is the A in the Greek alphabet. Do you know what an omega is? An omega is the last letter, the letter Z, if you will. Only it's an O sound, but it's the last letter. Does in the Greek language what the Z does in the English language. It is the last letter in the alphabet. So Jesus said, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the first and I am the last. Now, here are all these instances in the Bible where the Lord, the Almighty, our Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ the righteous, when he was here, said, I am, and then he told us what he would be. And here's the neat thing, folks. He then said, if that's not enough for you, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. Now watch. If he's the Alpha and he's the Omega, he's all the other letters in between. And what do you do with letters? You make words. So the Lord is saying to Moses and to us, listen, I will be whatever it is you need me to be. If you go to your Bible and you cannot find a text, a verse that says, this is what I need you to be, God, then you just take the alphabet and you make the word and write it in there. That's what I'll be for you. Amen. Yeah. I'll be that for you. Whatever you need God to be, God will do it. Turn to Matthew 23. Let me show you one more thing. Matthew 23. Watch this now. Matthew 23. I'm going to wait till you get it because I want everybody to see this. You see it? You got a Bible in front of you? All right, look at verse 35. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 35. Well, let's go back and get 34 so we get the whole sentence. We know what's going on. Wherefore, verse 34, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous, what's the next word? Abel. You see that? Abel. From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of, what's the next word? Zacharias. You see, folks, God is the God that knows what you need. And God is the God that cares about what you need. You go to the Bible and you read and you find all these things that God is. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. He's the light of the world. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the door. Whatever you need him to be, and then if you can't find what it is you need him to be, you just take the alphabet and you write it down. And this promise is not just for the Greek speaking world. It's for the English speaking world. From A to Z, not only Alpha to Omega, but from A to Z for those of us that speak the English language. Oh, thank God that we have a God that cares about us. You see, folks, the point is, God is not some strange deity, some far off ghost that sits off in the sweet by and by. No, he is the ever present I am. That means that we can trust him this morning. That means that his mercy and his grace is sufficient for whatever it is you and I have to deal with. And so instead of getting up and going through the day discouraged and defeated and beaten and depressed, just get up every morning and say, God, this is what I need you to be today. And write it in there and God will be that for you. Amen. He is the ever-present I am. All right, now, that's the introduction. All right? And seriously, it is. But the body of the sermon, it will be short. All right, here it is. Did God live up to his name? Did God live up to his name? Well, let's look at Moses here for just a minute, and let's see if God lived up to his name. You see, he told Moses that he was the I am. And then he proved it over and over and over. And he proved it to Moses as well as to the children of Israel. For example, Moses said, "Well, God, how do we get to this land that you want us to go to?" And God said to him, "Well, Moses, don't forget, I'm the way. I'm the way." And folks, God led him, did he not? I mean, you had that pillar of fire by night and that pillar of cloud by day. And when the cloud moved, they moved. And when the cloud stopped, they stopped. And God led them. He was their guide. He led them along the way. "I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll take you where I want you to go. You just trust me. Just fill in the blank, Moses." And so they started on the journey. And they got out of the cities, and God led them down to the Red Sea. Can you imagine? They get to the Red Sea, and they stop and think, "All right, now what do we do?" And they look down this way, and there's nothing but desert. And they look up this way, and there's nothing but mountains. And they look behind them, and here comes Pharaoh with his army. And they think to themselves, "Well, what in the world are we going to do now?" So Pharaoh and his whole army are coming up on the rear, mountains on one side, desert on the other side. And they cried and said, "Lord, we're all going to die." God said, "Oh, no, you're not. You just keep forgetting that I am the I am. You just don't remember that I'm the I am." And God said, "Listen, Moses, I'm the way. Don't forget that. I'm the strength. Don't forget that. I'm the power. Don't forget that. I'm the might. Don't forget that." "Well, Lord, what are we going to do?" And God said, "What you got in your hand, Moses?" He said, "Well, just a staff." He said, "Well, touch the water with it." And he went down to the water's edge and put that staff in the water. And all of a sudden, a wall of water began to blow up on one side. And a wall of water blew up on the other side. And there was dry ground where for thousands of years the ocean had laid, the waters of the sea had laid upon that land. It was dry ground. And God said to Moses, "There you go. That's the way. Walk ye in it." And they went over. And as soon as they got over on the other side, here comes Pharaoh, and God closed it down again. Folks, I'm telling you, you can trust that God will be who he says he will be. They got over in the wilderness. They ran out of food. Moses comes and says, "Lord, we got a problem. We don't have any food." God said, "No, you don't have a problem. You're forgetting I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life." And God gave them manna from heaven. And then they said, "But Lord, we're thirsty." And Moses said, "What are we going to do now?" And God said, "Not a problem. I'll make water come out of the rock." And he did. For 40 years, water came out of that rock. And then they got tired of eating manna. And Moses came and said, "Lord, they told me that they're sick and tired of eating manna. And they'd sure like to have some meat." And God said, "Well, no problem. I don't have a verse in here that says I'm the meat, but I am the Alpha and the Omega. So why don't you just write quail under glass and I'll provide that for you." And that's exactly what God did. I don't know why putting quail under glass makes it taste any better than any other way. But God provided quail for them. You see, folks, God's That's what I'm saying. God will always provide. So they came to Jericho, that great walled city. And they stood and looked at it and they said, "Man, how are we going to get through here? What are we going to do? We can't defeat these walls." And God said, "Moses, you're forgetting that I am. I am the door." And what happened was God told them what to do. And when they did it, God knocked the walls of Jericho down. And they took the city of Jericho. And folks, I'm just saying to you that when God makes us a promise, he is capable of carrying out that promise. God lived up to his name to Moses, and he'll live up to his name to you. What do you need him to be this morning? What do you need him to be? Let's apply this to us. Maybe you're here, you're not sure you're saved. I mean, what if you died right now? Don't anybody do it. You would just completely mess up the service if you did. But what if you died right now? Where are you going? Where will you spend eternity? You say, well, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to go. Well, here's the good news. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Won't you come to him? He's the I am. And you say, well, we got sickness. We got sickness in our family, and we just don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. Well, why don't you turn to the one who is able to heal? Why don't you turn to the one who is able to comfort and to encourage and to satisfy? Do you sit here this morning and you say, well, Lord, it just seems like there's darkness all around me. Well, John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Why don't you come to Jesus and trust him? What do you need right now? Whatever it is, just God says, I am that. I am that. You can trust me. You can depend on me. I'll be whatever you need me to be. But wait a minute. He's also the Alpha and the Omega and all the letters in between. He's also the A to Z and all the letters in between. Do you sit at home all by yourself? I mean, your spouse has graduated on to heaven and left you here. And now the kids, they don't ever call. Nobody ever stops by. And you're lonely. And you just say, well, I just don't know what to do. Do you sit at home by yourself? Well, why don't you just write comfort after I am? Do you wonder how you're going to make it this week? Why don't you just write strength after I am? Young people wonder what the future holds for your life? Why don't you write the word guide after I am? Let God be your guide. Do you parents need direction in raising your children? Why don't you write wisdom after I am? You know, the Bible said, James, book of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know what it means, upbraideth not? It means God's not going to scold you for asking for wisdom. I know nobody in here has ever, no man has ever done this in this room. I know no man has ever done this. But have you ever sat in your chair after you were thirsty and hungry, maybe for a while, just waiting for somebody to go through the kitchen so you could go, hey, while you're up, could you get me? You ever done that? No, of course not. I remember one time one of my girls, I don't remember which one it was, probably the one sitting up here. She said, Dad, you are so lazy. I said, yeah. And she got it for me, but she upbraided me the whole way. You're lazy. And she brought me the drink or brought me the sandwich or brought me whatever it is I asked for. But she upbraided me while she was doing it. God says, you can ask me for wisdom, Mom and Dad. You can ask me for wisdom, and I won't upbraid you for asking for it. Whatever it is you need this morning, take the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between and just write it in there. I am whatever you need me to be. That's the kind of God we serve. And folks, God proved it over and over and over to Moses and to the children of Israel, and he has proven it over and over and over to you and to me as well. He is the I am. You see, back when I was 16 years old and I needed a Savior, I walked down the aisle and God said to me, I am the life. And I got saved. When I then was called into the ministry and went off to Bible college, I didn't know what I wanted to be. Was I a Baptist? Was I a Methodist? I'd grown up a Methodist. We went to the Nazarene church for years, and was I a Nazarene? I didn't know what I was. I needed some truth. And I found that truth. I found that truth right here. By conviction, I am what I am today. I'm Baptist by conviction. When I was a freshman in college and so homesick, I couldn't hardly stand it. I turned 18 when I was in college. I was not ready to go away to school. I'll be honest with you, I was not ready. And I called home at about the middle of October, and I said, I'm so homesick, I don't think I can do this. I think I'm coming home. My dad said, excuse me, what'd you say? I said, I'm homesick. I think I'm coming home. I can't do this. And he said, no, I don't think you're coming home. I said, but Dad, you don't understand. He said, no, I was in the Marine Corps, son. Tell me what I don't understand. And he said, you need to talk to the Lord and find out where some victory is. So I just took the word victory and wrote it in. I am victory. God gives the victory. Amen. When I was kicked out of school, now I went back and graduated, for those of you who don't know the story. But when I was kicked out of school, I wrote in wisdom. God is the wisdom. I am the wisdom. When my mother died, I didn't know how to handle that. I sure needed something from the Lord. You know what the Lord gave me? He gave me the promise that I am the resurrection and the life. I'll see her again. I'll see her again. When I was in Glenville pastoring my first church, Karen and I didn't have two dimes to rub together. I used to joke, but it wasn't a joke. I used to say all the time, we were so broke we couldn't pay attention. And that's the truth. And we didn't have many bills. We had rent. We had utilities. The church provided the rent income, but they didn't provide the utilities income. And we had a little car payment and a little insurance payment on the car. But then we had this habit, this thing called eating, that we had to do. And I remember we would sit at the dinner table or breakfast table, and we'd lay those bills out, and we'd lay them in order, and then we'd pray over them. And then at 9:30, when the mail lady ran, I would run down the hill and get in, open the mailbox, get the mail, run up, and inevitably, and it was always on the day they were due, every time on the due date. And we would lay those bills. I got to the place where I didn't even lay them out and pray over them until due date time, because I got disappointed and discouraged that God didn't meet the need 3 days before it was due. And so on due day, we would lay the bills out, lay them, and they all came due at the same time at the end of the month. We'd lay them down on there, eat breakfast, pray over them. I'd go down and get the mail, and then there would be a card. And Karen would say, who's that from? I said, I have no idea. And I would open it up, and there would be, God laid you on my heart this morning. Here's a little help. I hope you can use it. And many a time we would lay there, we would stand there and take that check and lay it over top of the bill. And you know, sometimes, not real often, but sometimes God would give us $5-6 extra. There was a little pizza shop in Glenville. Honestly, folks, best pizza in the world. When you don't have pizza, it doesn't matter what pizza shop is in your town, it's the best pizza in the world. And they were $5. $5. And sometimes God would give us an extra $5 and we would go up and buy a pizza. I would run up and get it and bring it home. Oh, God's so good. He'll be whatever you need him to be. I just want you to realize, folks, he is the I am. And he wants to be your I am. What do you need him to be this morning? If you can't find a verse in the Bible that says, I am this, I am that, why don't you just take your alphabet and you just write it in there. Lord, here's what I need you to be. And let God be God.